in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And away we go on a Sweet 16 Thursday. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Beautiful Thursday, beautiful Sweet 16 Thursday in East Tennessee. We got four games on tonight, and we are about 31 hours away from Tennessee and Creighton tomorrow in the Sweet 16.
But who's counting?
Of course, we get the last game. There are eight games in the next 2 days. We are number eight. Saving the best for last, I guess.
I mean, I feel like it's going to be, what are the chances it ends up being the best game?
Well, I mean, if you're just going by the betting lines.
Is that the closest line?
Yes. No. Illinois, Iowa State tonight. Iowa State is a 1.5-point favorite. I've got Illinois.
Money line. You took Illinois on the money line?
Yeah.
Iowa State's one seems to really – if they won it all, it really wouldn't surprise me.
Only thing I've got tonight is the over in the North Carolina-Alabama game.
Tucker, correct me if I'm wrong. Haven't they been one of the hotter teams in the country?
Ooh, Iowa State?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They've been good. I don't really associate them with Final Four appearances, though.
Oh, no. They're just on a heater.
This year's team's on a heater.
I think they're the best defensive team in the country right now.
I think that's right, because Houston's had a couple of performances in which it's let up more than 80.
Iowa State is at one.
Yeah, I'm taking Illinois in that one. I am waiting on UConn to see if that 11.5 comes down. Anyway, you guys don't care about my gambling picks. I did bet a lot of baseball today. I got a lot going on in Major League Baseball.
Angels and Orioles starting in about 2 minutes.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Major League Baseball opening day. It's a good young team, man. They've been impressive what they've been able to do. We've got Christopher Gabriel from KMJ Fresno set to join the festivities in about 17 minutes. How's that for exciting?
It's going to be wild. He was told you guys before the show, he's even more fired up than normal, Russ.
Well, that's good, man, because I'll admit, I was up early today. I was dragging. I was like, man, I'm way too tired. Stopped. Got a Red Bull. I've got another one out there in car. I might just go full Ogeron, slam that, double Red Bull day. And between that and Christopher Gabriel, I mean, you inject a big, 20 cc's of the CGP right into my vein.
Mainlined.
We'll be ready to go here for the following 3 hours of quality sports-related entertainment. Yeah, Clemson at Arizona is the first game that is tipping off at 7 o'clock in L.A., so 4 o'clock local time, but we're tipping off at 10:30. So go figure.
I thought Torres was going to lose his mind.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Arizona, 6.5-point favorite there. Can Clemson – that P.J. Hall guy would have been a nice player here. We would have really enjoyed him. P.J. Hall, big man for Clemson that Tennessee recruited heavily and was thought to be a lean here, decided to stay home, and has had a nice career for program that just really has not done much historically in college basketball.
What were their best years? The Barnes years?
Probably.
I think they made a Sweet 16 in like 2018, but I can't remember doing anything else recently.
Well, that's a question for you. At Barnes & Stops, the university where he's coached, were their program's best days while Rick Barnes was the head coach?
UConn and San Diego State tips off at 7:39 p.m. Alabama, North Carolina, probably the one most people are like that has the potential, I think, to be the most fun tonight. And just a couple of teams that
that
go
game
up
could
and down
finish
the court.
110 to 108, in my opinion.
What was the over-under?
173.5.
The thing I'm looking at, how long do you think that Gonzaga-Purdue game is going to go if it turns into a foul fest, which every game Zach Edey's involved in?
Buddy, if you're planning on this game tipping off before 10:30 tomorrow night, I got bad news.
We're going to be a late-night volunteer reaction.
I'll be watching early Tennessee morning. Baseball. I can't watch Zach Edey play. As a matter of fact, if they win and we win and we're playing them Sunday, I might go watch Tennessee baseball Sunday.
Nature hike?
I might do something else. I don't know. I don't want to watch that guy play basketball. It's not basketball. I don't know what that is. It's something. It's an athletic competition. I guess they're keeping sore. But that's not basketball. I'm sorry. It's just not.
I don't blame him, but – Have you watched a Purdue game yet this tournament?
This tournament?
Yes.
I've tried bits and pieces. Yes, I can't watch it. It's so ugly.
It's a Zach Edey infomercial.
I'm telling you right now, if Awaka got the same whistle that Zach Edey does, he'd have been an All-American.
Well, maybe in his next life he can be 7'4".
I mean, if he's just allowed to foul with impunity and get everything, anytime you get touched, get called for it.
Tennessee baseball news today. Eric Kane of VolQuest reports that A.J. Russell, this was a weirdly worded report. He says it's good news because he doesn't have the big injury, but he is going to miss a few weeks. He's going to be out for weeks.
What is the injury?
I don't know. I mean, Tony said it was forearm tightness. Okay. So, the plan is for him to pitch towards the end of the season. But in the meantime, I mean, we are grinding right now. A team that is 500 in conference play with the 23rd ranked team, I believe, 22nd maybe, Georgia, coming in for a three-game series this weekend. Lots of hard series between now and whenever A.J. Russell will be coming back, and we've got to find a third starter.
Yeah, Georgia's coming in with the hottest hitter in conference, Charlie Condon.
So I guess Sunday now is just a bullpen day for the foreseeable future. You know, they don't usually like to start Snead out of the pen on Sundays. They usually just go, like, with Sechrist, like they did last week.
We should have asked him that yesterday. Why don't you just start Snead?
Is Snead in line to be a start, you know?
I think they just like bringing him out of the pen.
He kind of fills that Camden Sewell spot, I feel like. I don't know if he's that good, but.
I mean, it's almost like he's the starter, but he doesn't start, if that makes any sense.
Exactly. He's going, taking the meat of the game, but, you know, you start like Sechrist or Aaron Combs like they did that one time against Illinois.
He's going to pitch. Snead's going to pitch five innings. What about Sechrist or Combs might pitch the first and second inning, but then Snead is the plan is for him to come in and pitch most of the game.
He can go nice six or seven.
Oh, he went in that game at Alabama for a while, right?
He went. How many pitches did that one?
He's out there for most of the pitches for Tennessee. It'll be interesting to see what they do on Sunday, assuming it'll be Causey and Beam on Friday and Saturday. Let's go ahead and go to the phones here. Right off the top, let's get things rolling. Christopher Gabriel coming up momentarily. Tennessee truth teller Trey leads us off today. What's up, Trey?
What's up, guys? I didn't expect to get brought in so soon. You caught me in the middle of a Myers, which for those of you who don't travel north is like a lesser version of Kroger's. Like Kroger and Walmart had a child, but something's just not quite right about it. But anyway.
What do they call Hardee's up there?
Isn't Carl's it? Jr., right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't know how to live up here. And then, like, once you don't see Cracker Barrels anymore, that's when it gets really depressing. That's when you know you've truly left God's country.
Well, not a society.
So, what do they have if you don't have Cracker Barrel? There's got to be something filling that spot.
Is it a
IHOP
Denny's?
There.
Oh, IHOP, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it's a sad excuse. The awful, awful dark place. Guys, I am the I think we all should be the biggest Gonzaga Bulldog fans. And Russ has kind of leads into exactly what you were saying. Not only do I think we have a better chance of beating Gonzaga, I'm a lot more okay losing to Gonzaga. when we if we end up playing them than I am losing to Purdue. I might just go nuclear if we play them and lose. And I hate watching that genetic freak play. It pisses me off. Everything about him pisses. Stupid look on his face. I mean,
A personal appearance is not show fodder.
It is kind of funny to look at his face when he's shooting the free throws. Like, they just, well, because you see it so often, because he's there, what, 10, 20 times a game?
What does he look like?
He's just like,
people can't see you. You're rolling your eyes back in your head.
If you make the sound, that's probably what it was.
Yeah.
He looks like you just want to just, you know, curl up and hit him in the right hook. But anyway, if I'm Barnes, my strategy against Purdue is pretty simple. I get a walk at a take that ball, go up on him, and when he goes up to block it, I just pin his arm against the rim and just snap it. That would be my strategy for dealing with Zach Edey.
A little violent?
Although, I'm a little worked up today, Ross.
But, you got to pace yourself, buddy. You got 31 hours to go.
Oh, the stress is eating
Are you
a lot.
Driving up to the game? Are you working, or are you going up to the game?
I was from work. I was actually about 2 hours from Detroit. I heavily thought about going to the game, but last time I did that, I went to the Michigan game. So I'm going to take my curse home with me.
Wow.
Instead of taking it to the stadium.
Thank you.
But guys, really quick, Joshy boy, this is the second time you've taken a shot at me, and it is the second and final time it will go ignored. You're on notice. I don't want any more feuds. I'm trying to be peaceful, but I will resort to violence if I have to. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but I went to Hargrave Military Academy. So you guys were talking about that yesterday.
So wait, attended Hargrave Military Academy?
I attended. I went there for a year in high school, and we had like a pseudo scrimmage with those guys you were talking about, the postgraduates. And I don't remember much of it. I'm pretty sure I was concussed. Most of it, but it was an experience. I mean, you just don't realize how far off you are from being anywhere remotely near a D1 athlete until you step onto a field with them in pads, and then the next thing you know, you're waking up on your back. I mean, it's an experience. But yeah, I got to see a lot of dudes who are playing in the NFL. It was pretty cool. I mean, seeing a bunch of like 6'5", like genetic freaks, you know, in military fatigues, all lined up. It was pretty cool. So, anyway, on the way out, guys, is it not an unfair advantage for Purdue and Gonzaga to get to play tonight, and then we have to play tomorrow night? Like, how does that work out that they get a shorter or a longer turnaround than us?
They play tomorrow night.
How is that remotely fair?
They play tomorrow night, dude.
Oh.
They're the game right before us, so they get an extra 2 hours.
Oh, I thought that was tonight. I must have got that mixed up. Sorry. Never mind. End of rant. But, guys, on the way out, I don't know why you all are afraid of the chlorine man. He's gone now. Love you guys.
Who's the chlorine man?
That is Nate Hodges.
Who's afraid of him?
Not me.
You're a little afraid of him?
No, I like
Nate.
Never was. I consider Nate to be a good friend.
We're calling him the chlorine man. Is he an offshoot of Mike DeBoard then? Because he was the pool guy too, right?
I think
we got to draw a parallel. I feel like there's a good tag team in there somewhere of Hodges and DeBoard. As we get ready to welcome in, I had no idea our boy went to Hargrave Military Academy.
I didn't either.
Do you think that was a punishment for something? Was he an unruly child that needed some discipline?
Knowing Trey just via the radio and Twitter, I'm going to say possibly. Possibly to highly possibly.
Boy, they've had some good players go through there. Very notable attendees. Just in football, DJ Ware played there. Jarrell Poe, remember him? 300-pounder from Ole Miss that went here. Solomon Page. Torrey Holt played there. Vidal Hazelton. Charles Grant from Georgia. Remember him? He's good. Martavis Bryant. Ahmad Brooks. Ward Burton. Wad Burton went there.
Really?
1982. A lot of basketball players. Terry Rozier. P.J. Hairston.
Terry Rozier.
Montrezl Harrell.
He played Nebraska?
No, both of those guys played at Louisville, Montrezl Harrell and Rozier.
Mike Rozier, bro.
Mike Rozier. They're related?
Vernon Macklin. Wow. And Tennessee Truth Teller Trey. To parade.
Distinguished alumni.
Yes. Larry Brown. Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Coming up, we go out west to bring in the man, the myth, the legend, the CGP. Christopher Gabriel of KMJ Fresno joins us when we continue on many of these fine Fan Run affiliates. Stay tuned. The drive continues right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Christopher Gabriel of KMJ Fresno joins us now. Good afternoon, CG. How are you, sir?
Russ and the boys, good to talk to you from 2300 west of you. Well, we've arrived at the day before the Sweet 16, even though we have the other four games today. I don't know about you, but I am ready to go. I'm feeling confident about tomorrow night, Russ.
I'm jealous of you living in that West Coast time zone because it's a 7 p.m. tip-off for you. You'll be fine. I mean, we're putting on a pot of coffee. We're planning on tipping off our post-game show in the wee hours of Saturday morning. I mean, we're going to be pulling an all-nighter tomorrow, CG.
I've got a Blackstone at home, and I've got some New York steak. I've got a little bit of chicken and some shrimp. I'm going to be doing a little teppanyaki out in the back for the family, and then we're going to come in, we're going to have a nice dinner, relax, and then watch the tip time, which should be around, what, 7:10, 7:15?
7:30.
And then, you know, after that, I'm looking for a post-game cocktail, maybe a movie or something.
Chicken, steak, and shrimp. You need some more protein, CG.
Well, we're all about the protein here. We're all about the protein here. But, you know, it's your basic combo. I'm going to do your basic combo platter teppanyaki on the Blackstone because right now we are in ideal grilling temperature. In another month and a half or so, it's going to be hotter than the gates of hell here, and there won't be any grilling outside. So,
all right, I feel like a total rube here. I have to ask. We will talk basketball here shortly. What the hell is teppanyaki?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked.
Think of Benihana.
Yeah, it's like wasabi.
We call it wasabi.
We call it hibachi.
Yeah, hibachi.
Yeah, it's called teppanyaki out here. It's teppanyaki. Please try to get with the program. Please,
I love
please
a good
here.
Hibachi. I mean, you signed me up. Come to think of it, I love a bad hibachi. It can be like it doesn't even have to be that good.
Hibachi.
I do.
Yeah, they have progressed past the hibachi name out here to teppanyaki, which is, I guess, the more traditional Japanese steakhouse name. But you know, when you boys make the road trip, the eventual road trip out here, I will take care of you. I'll set you up. We'll have more protein than you've ever had in one sitting.
The California Cool. Christopher Gabriel joining us this afternoon here on the phones. And CG, I know we asked you this last year. I think you responded in the affirmative. It didn't work out. Let's run this back and try it again. Is this the year Tennessee finally breaks through the Sweet 16 ceiling that has been the ceiling in the Rick Barnes era so far here at Tennessee?
You know, let's go back for a second. I was as fooled as anybody. I thought that when we got to Madison Square Garden and we had obviously a very good FAU team, but I thought that we matched up well. I liked the way that the game, the way I thought it was going to play out, well, it just didn't. And really, as we all remember, what this team lacked last year was somebody to be able to put the ball in the basket. So then you fast forward to last weekend and we had that same thing happening again. But somehow, we shot 3 for 183 and came out of there with a win. And the reason I'm going to go out on a limb here again and say that I think we break through tomorrow night in Detroit is because last week, fellas, last week felt like a giant exhale. I mean, we had the game under control, but I think all of us who have been saddled with BVS, battered vowel syndrome, I think we knew that that game was going to get close, right? I mean, there was just never a doubt. But I didn't know that it was going to get close to the point where it was a two-point game, and I was actually starting to think, okay, we might lose this game. We might lose this game, and I'm going to be out of my mind. But they found a way to do it. They made the free throws down the stretch. And when you looked at the body language of the guys on the court after the game, I mean, they were excited in the locker room, but on the court, the hugs and the shoulders and everything just looked like, man, we made it. We got through what we never get through, whether it's the round of 32, whether it's the Sweet 16. That's the game that always gets them. And I honestly believe, for a couple of reasons, that they're going to get through tomorrow night. Number one, because of everything I just said. Number two, I like this matchup, Russ. I really do. I'll say it right at the top. I have great respect for Creighton. That's a good program. It's a good coach. Good coaching staff. They've got some smart players. They have one guy on that team. I forget what his name is. He looks like he's an accountant with three kids. I think he's a pretty good shooter. But I don't know where it got to be popular that we just go ahead, the nation just goes ahead and says, yeah, well, Creighton's going to win this one. Because the matchups here favor Tennessee. The style of play, they shoot 10 threes a game. We give up 7 threes a game. I think, number one, if there is any coach in the country that I want to know how to get his guys to run guys off the three, it's Rick Barnes. So I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see that tomorrow night. I think we're going to see a lot of pressure on their guards. That will not surprise me. Offensively, I am expecting to see the ball in Dalton Connect's hands a lot. Russ, I'm sure that one or all of you in the fine studio of The Drive in Fox Sports Knoxville, somebody has said that Dalton Connect is due for a massive game. He has been just a little bit off, and I don't know that anybody – I don't think there's anybody on Creighton that can stop him. I really don't. And I don't think there's anybody on Creighton that can stop Zakai Ziegler in terms of the kinds of ways that he penetrates, draws the defense, and either does a little one-hand float or manages to kick it out for an open shot. This is not, by no means going to be some walk-away win, but I believe that we are more athletic, we are more talented, and we have traveled the road differently than Creighton that gets us through that game tomorrow night. We have to make shots. And I absolutely refuse to believe this team comes out and has back-to-back games like we had last week. Because last year, or any other year, when we have that game, we're out. That's what last week was in terms of how it's different, and that's why I think we advance to Sunday and the Elite Eight.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno with us this afternoon on The Drive. And Chris, the one thing that jumps out to me in this analysis is, and you've probably heard this, I know the guys have heard this, but people keep comparing Creighton to Alabama. They say, well, they run the Alabama system. It's a bunch of layups and threes. They don't shoot the mid-range jumper. And I've been looking at a couple of things that do not back that up. One, I wish I had this, Houston, you might have seen it, the chart that charted like percentage of shots that are mid-range jumpers. And Alabama was somewhere less than 5%, by far the fewest in the country. Creighton actually had more than us. They were around 25%. We're around 20%. So Rick Barnes has adjusted his style over the years. So that made me think, I don't know if this Alabama comparison really holds water. And then I looked at this adjusted tempo on KenPom, possessions per 40 minutes, right? Alabama, 8th in the country, okay? They have over 100 possessions per 40 minutes, 8th fastest tempo in the country. Tennessee is 78th. So still pretty faster than most, but not anywhere near where Alabama's at. Creighton, 228th in the country.
Yeah.
They don't play fast. They are deliberate on offense. They take their time. They pass it around. And they don't force shots as quickly as Alabama does. What do you think about that? Does that play into Tennessee's hand? Because the other thing, like, Tennessee was successful against Alabama this year. So my first thought is, if they do play like Alabama, well, good for us because we've been successful against that style. But I don't know that they do play like Alabama.
No, I think what you just laid out is perfect because I have heard that as well. And my first thought was, well, okay, Alabama is more talented, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of pure athleticism. Alabama is more talented than Creighton. And if you want to say Creighton, not you, but if you want to say Creighton plays Alabama style, well, we blew them out in Knoxville and we beat them in Coleman Coliseum. I've watched Creighton four times this year, and I have never. It wasn't until I heard somebody, I forget which national guy, compare them to Alabama. I would never at all compare this team to Alabama. And if they believe, or if analysts, some of the experts, as it were, want to say that Creighton plays the Alabama offense, well, that's like saying Wichita State plays defensive pressure the way that Tennessee does. Well, they might employ the same system, but they don't have the same athletes, they don't have the same head coach, and they don't have the overall game mentality and game philosophy that Tennessee has. And that's what I would apply to Creighton here. That team, you know, you look at their numbers and you look at the shot charts, and yeah, they clearly, I mean, the only thing that's similar to Alabama for the most part is the fact that they want layups or they want three-point shots. And we have seen this with Alabama. We've seen this with other teams in the SEC. And for that matter, Russ, when you look at the schedule, for what it's worth, and maybe it's not worth a damn at this point now that we're coming up at the end of March and we're in the Sweet 16, but when you look at the teams that they have played this year, yes, obviously they played UConn, a great team. They played Marquette, a very, very good team. Villanova, some decent talent. Oregon, I think Oregon probably could have beaten them. But there's really, outside of UConn, you go down their schedule and you are hard-pressed to find anybody that plays the kind of defense that can run teams out of what they want to do than Tennessee. So getting back to your original point, this idea that they are the second coming of the UNLV running rebels for, you know, with Larry Johnson, no, I'm not seeing that at all. And again, I'm not for a second discounting Creighton's ability. I'm not denigrating them, but I don't think they are the way some people have framed them to be. Very similar to Dennis Green saying they are who we thought they were. Well, they're not. I don't think they are, Russ.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, our guest. We get ready for Tennessee and Creighton tomorrow night in Detroit, Rock City. CG, a win tomorrow puts Tennessee back in the Elite Eight for the first time in 14 years, the second time in school history. Big picture, 10,000-foot view, what would the win tomorrow mean for Rick Barnes and Tennessee basketball?
Well, I think it would be huge. It will not shut up Vols fans who are hell-bent on not liking him, not giving him credit, and so on. But I think it does elevate him to a place where, at least with Tennessee, we really haven't seen. And I do think that if they get to Sunday, call me delusional, but I think this team does get to Sunday, I think they will be incredibly relaxed because they will have gotten the monkey off their backs in terms of the kind of game that they had against Texas, which we discussed. They will have gotten through Creighton, a team that has, you know, every bracket, it seems, nationwide has picked Creighton to win this game, starting with Sister Jean. Well, she had St. Peter's beating us. Sister Jean now walking on the beach in Chicago. And whoever we would play on Sunday, likely Purdue. We've seen them. We've played them. We've lost to them. I don't think there's any mystery to what Purdue does. They basically, between Fletcher Lawyer or Lawyer Fletcher, whichever way it is, really, really good outside shooter. They obviously run everything through Zach Edey. And I have said this to a number of people, and I've said this on the air out here. I will never understand the idol worship of Zach Edey. I really don't. I'm old enough to remember Bill Walton and then Lou Alcindor at UCLA. I remember Hakeem Olajuwon at Houston. Those guys, they were dynamic, prolifically skilled centers that could do everything. That is not Zach Edey. Zach Edey is able to get the ball, shoot the ball from 2 feet from the basket, and get fouls called on other guys all game long. I mean, if we end up matching up against Purdue, we might as well just go ahead and start the game with five fouls because that's what it's going to be. But I do think, assuming, let's just use that word, Russ, assuming we get to Sunday, I think this team comes out relaxed. This is not a team I don't think – people sometimes will mistake missing shots for playing tight. This team, in the last 4 or 5 minutes, they did not play tight against Texas. They just didn't. They felt – to me, they looked confident. They have looked confident all year, even in games they've lost. They've played confidently. I expect this game on Sunday, if we get to Sunday, to be a game that can absolutely propel us to the Final Four because a Purdue, if it is a Purdue, will be coming into the game fully expecting to win. And I think our guys, for as much as they want to win for them, they want this for Rick. And I think this would, you know, if Rick could get to a Final Four, my goodness, whatever it does for him and the program getting to an Elite Eight, I think it goes exponentially higher getting to a Sunday. And boy, what it would do for recruiting.
It is Major League Baseball opening day, and Mike Trout, who is temporarily healthy for the Angels, just homered to open the season against Corbin Burnes in Baltimore, and we are off and running, CG. Nothing like opening day in the big leagues. I know it's very exciting out there with all the professional baseball you get in the Golden State, and of course, we've got college baseball to talk about here in East Tennessee. The national pastime, making a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. It never went away. Exciting stuff. What has you more excited, your White Sox or Tony Vitello's baseball Volunteers?
Oh, my gosh, Tony Vitello. yeah, absolutely.
Open up a sore spot there.
Well, you had to do that, didn't you? The White Sox will be eliminated by May 1st, and then we can get back to business. No, I'm very excited for Tony and the boys. I mean, you look at what they're – you know, what they're doing right now. It's nice to see that they figured out how to beat Tennessee Tech. That was nice to see. But, I mean, they're sitting at 22-4. I'm going to tell you, somebody wrote me a comment, not a private comment, a DM, I guess we call it, on X/Twitter, saying, CG, right now we're 1-2 on the road, and I think we're 2-1 neutral, but he made a point of saying that we're 1-2 on the road, 19-1 at home, and I'm concerned about the Vols' ability to win games on the road. I don't remember who it was. And if I remembered, I would keep his name out of it. But I guess my initial thought was the Vols have played 20 games at home, and they have played 3 on the road. And really, they should have won that last game in the Alabama series. I am very excited for this team. Their offense, I think we all knew that this was going to be a team that would have a lot of, you know, a lot of offensive firepower. I don't know about you and the boys, Russ, but I did not expect to see this much firepower this early in the year. I mean, just about everybody seems to have their swings in a nice groove. Now, does that mean that we're going to suddenly hit a slump in April? I don't know. I don't think so. But if the pitching completely catches up, and it hasn't been bad by any stretch of the imagination, but if they really start to get consistent starts on their Friday, Saturday, and Sunday guys, just watch out. I mean, this team can do some stuff. I am very excited. As far as the White Sox go, the thing that's got me excited, I mean, sincerely excited, is the talk of a new park. Because the White Sox owner, I'm not going to say his name because it just gets me crazy.
It was like Voldemort? You can't even say the name out loud, CG?
Now I can see those big old glasses and his hair and in my head, and I just didn't want to talk about it. All right, I'll say it. Ryan Sorcerer. I think that he erred when he built the park on the south side of 35th Street, and now they're talking about building it on the Chicago River extension in the south loop of Chicago, and that's a great idea if it happens. My excitement will increase considerably if that happens, because right now the franchise they've had a poor front office, they've had fire sales with players, they've had injuries, but everybody has injuries. They just haven't done much at all, and a couple of years ago, when they got to the playoffs against Oakland, that was a great series. Oakland ended up winning that series. But the thought was these Oakland A's and the White Sox were two teams to really watch in the American League in the coming years. And then, you know, the guys separated by birth, John Fisher, owner of the A's, and Reinsdorf, they proceeded to have fire sales, not so much for Reinsdorf initially, but Fisher got rid of everybody. And that's one of the reasons why Oakland went in the toilet, because he wanted to get his Vegas deal. And the White Sox, They used to have a good farm system. It's been depleted. I'm looking forward to the year that I can actually get excited about baseball. I have a lot of your listeners writing me saying, if you need another team, you can come with us to the Braves. You can come to the promised land that is Truist Park and be with us. A lot of folks in your audience working on me, Russ.
Well, we are a Brave station now here on Fan Run. So yeah. We got the first game we're going to broadcast on Saturday afternoon against Philadelphia. So very exciting stuff. Hey, CG, we got to run, man. Appreciate you. Enjoy the what are we calling this?
Teppanyaki.
Tomorrow, it sounds delicious.
Sounds like hibachi.
Yeah, you guys really need to get out here sometime, and I got you covered.
We will be there. Hey, maybe if all goes well, we can meet you halfway in Phoenix next week.
I'm there. That would be awesome, right?
All right. Well, let's not tempt the wrath of the take it this one weekend at a time. CG, we appreciate you, my friend. We'll be in touch.
All right, brother. Love you guys. Have a good one.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. Got to take a quick time out. Open up the phone lines. We'll be right back with more Fan Run Radio after this. Drive continues, Fan Run Radio. Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Bear, what did you learn?
The big thing I learned was when you piped up and said everybody's been comparing Creighton to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just assuming, I was just taking people that were saying that at face value. I didn't dig into the numbers like you did. They're not very similar.
They don't play nearly as fast, I think, is the big thing. Here's the stat. J-Mo sent it to me. Mid-range twos field goal attempt percent. So Alabama famously doesn't shoot mid-range jumpers, right?
Right.
They shot 76 of them this season, 3.5% of their overall field goal attempts. They just don't take that shot. Tennessee, on the other hand, only shot 10.8% of those shots. We took 226. Creighton took 210. So they basically take the same amount of mid-range jumpers as we do.
Yeah. Similar in shot selection.
No, nobody takes those shots much anymore. I mean, 10% seems like a lot compared to for Alabama.
If the rest, yeah, 3.5%. They're 3%. Yeah, but if 90% of your shots are coming from three and rim, well, that's still pretty good.
I mean, this is going to be an interesting test of this debate that the basketball junkies have been having for the last 5 years or so in the college game. It's like we used to do that all the time when we had Bone and Bowden. How many mid-range jumpers did those guys take? Felt like hundreds, right?
They were active at the elbow.
We designed those plays for them.
Yeah, and we hated it as fans. We're like,
no, not when they were making them.
Yeah. I didn't like it. It's an inefficient shot. They don't do this in the NBA for good reason. They have scienced it out, and they have determined that this is not the best way to win. And Rick Barnes is old school. He's stuck in his ways. We're going to do this, by gum.
Gotcha. But
and then he stopped doing it, and now we only do it 10% of the time, or it feels like we probably did it 25-30% of our field goal attempts back in the day. And now there's a thought of, well, maybe we dust that off and, you know, tomorrow night and try and fill it up from the elbow.
I mean, the bigger thing is you need to, you know, in games like this, once you get in the tournament, you can't have too many empty possessions. You got to score points. I don't care whether twos or threes.
Rick Barnes and his players meeting with the media in Detroit as we speak. Nuggets are coming out. Perhaps the biggest, Santiago Vescovi, quote, a bit under the weather. They expect him to play tomorrow. Santi's sick. Santi flu game incoming. He hasn't been playing that well when he's healthy, if we're being honest about it.
No.
Maybe it'll work out for him better if he's a little under the weather out there.
Who do you give his minutes to? Jemai?
Yeah.
I don't love that.
You don't love that?
No, that he's sick. I'm sorry. Oh. It took me a while to.
I mean, what the hell are you going to do? If you get sick, you get sick.
I just hope it's not going around the team.
I know, yeah. That was my second thought.
Like, we have three guys sick on Sunday.
That'd be so.
Fold up the tents.
And we lose by two.
It'd be our luck.
That'd be so. Oh, man.
10 years from now. Hey, remember that time we had Dalton Connect, NBA All-Star, five times now?
And the team caught the flu.
Oh, man. What
are we
you
were up by 15 and ran out of gas.
That'd be rough, man.
Rick Barnes on the key to coaching, quote, everything you do for your players. This is about them, not you. You can't ever forget that. If you're hard on them, it's for a reason. You have to be transparent. You can't wait for problems to fix themselves. Added that Tennessee's trainer Chad Newman is working with Vescovi to keep him hydrated. Jemai Mashak on being back in the Sweet 16 says, we were confident last year and we're confident this year too, but this year we're healthier. That's the difference. We have everybody this year. We have more depth. We don't have to change anything about what we do.
Said the flu.
I wonder what he's – well, I did. I said the flu. I said flu no, game. I was referencing. Yeah. I don't know what he's got. Vitello said one of his guys has got mono.
Oh, God.
Bear was listening.
Mono.
Did you yes, Vitello yesterday on these airways. You were sitting right there. What were you doing?
I didn't want to yell out in the middle of his thing, and I forgot about it. Now you've just reminded me. That is right. What's that, like a 30-day ordeal to get over? Remember when you used to be out of school for like a month if you got the mono?
Yeah, I never had mono.
I never had it either, but it was a long time.
I didn't either, but it was
– Some kids, it was longer than that.
No, you almost didn't envy him either.
Yeah, some kids would have – like it would wreck an entire semester. But then I felt some kids, it was just a cold or the flu, and they were fine.
Yeah. I had one friend that I felt – he's not really a friend, my next-door neighbor. He kind of milked it.
They called it the kissing disease, remember? It'd be, you've been kissing somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? And I guess he'd be like, oh, yeah, she was real pretty. Totally worth it to get mono,
dude,
to kiss her. You all right, Crash? I mean, I'm
fine.
Little rattled.
It's been a day, but this is just not.
You're fine, Houston. Everything's fine, buddy.
I didn't.
You're doing a fantastic job.
It's not that. Now I'm mad that we're sick.
You're projecting power. Had a big talent acquisition today on the Tiger team, Russ.
True.
Welcome, new member.
The Tiger team is hiring now.
Well, no, we're recruiting talent.
Initiation.
We got our newest member. Shout out to Glenn.
Who the hell is Glenn?
See,
that's
first
totally
of all,
that's
a very rude thing to say.
You wouldn't say it once you meet.
You're gonna that's gonna be right up Glenn. There with who the hell is Tony Vitello?
Yeah.
Who the hell is Glenn? Do you know a Glenn, Tucker?
I'm pretty sure I know who they're talking about, but I'm not entirely sure.
There's no Glenn.
Glenn is currently working his fingers to the bone.
He's the guy who built the new studio for you.
For your comfort. Like a lot of your name comes up a lot. Yeah, it's got to be right for Russ, Glenn. Glenn's like, you got it, guys. And that's why he's putting in the work. He's a member of the Tiger team.
I mean, sounds like a wonderful fellow.
Maybe if you come around more, you'd meet him.
Trevor declined our invitation to join the Tiger team.
He said he'd bring us down.
I know Trevor.
And he's a funny dude.
He's funny, but he's smart like me.
Well, see, that's
the
thing.
He's not looking to take on any added responsibility.
We aren't going to I can't lie on a truthful Thursday.
Houston caught that.
I caught it as well. He likes you quite a bit. He's a big admirer of yours, so he'd be around Team Russell.
Burp.
Go on, Trevor. We got Glenn.
Yeah. We're going to build things.
So anyway,
special
back
things.
To basketball. Are you okay? Are you
going to
be all right?
No.
No, you're not right.
I'm going to be a nervous wreck. That would have been the case anyway, but now I may be a little more nervous.
A.J. Russell's forearm is falling apart. We've got Mono on the baseball team.
Cam Seldon's out for
Cam
spring.
Cam Seldon, what are we doing? It's all falling apart. Right at the end of the week, this is supposed to be the best week ever.
It's an outrage.
Just breathe, I suppose.
Yeah,
one
well,
step
what else,
at a,
what else can
one,
you do?
One foot in front of the other, man. Just one step at a time, right? Let's get Phil in here. Phil, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
What's
up, Philly?
Dude, the Trey call Nate a chlorine man? Is that what he said?
That he did.
I think he was salt water, though, so how can he be a chlorine man?
They have salt water pools over there?
That's what I've been led to believe.
Fancy schmancy.
Have you swam in one of those?
No, I don't got a pool. I'm looking to get in and out of the bathtub.
They don't install one of those in the mayor's house, the mayor's mansion in South Knoxville down there for you, Phil?
Well, I might give a quote. Give them a quote, you know what?
There you go. See if you can put one of those wave pool things in.
Did Bear make the statement that if a Walker had the same whistle as Eddie, that he'd be just as good? Is that what he said earlier?
He said he'd be a borderline All-American.
Well, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard on the radio all week.
You ever listen back to your calls?
Oh, gentlemen, please. Discourse, yeah. Not discord.
You didn't want to take my calls, you wouldn't take them, would you?
Who? I don't understand. What's happening now?
I have no idea.
If
I like Christopher Gabriel, though, he brings it and tells the story, don't he?
He brings the noise. The enthusiasm, the passion, the power.
The teppanyaki.
That too.
I don't compare Creighton to Alabama. I compare them more to Florida than Alabama. Mm. I can even compare them to Vandy back when Stallings was coach.
Yeah, they're a hard team to get a read on. The other big difference, Alabama does not have a Kaltbrenner.
No.
They do not have a rim protector.
That guy's come on lately, Diabate.
Yeah,
but he's been better, but
he's still no shuffled guys in.
Yeah,
out,
there's
though.
Nelson's
yeah.
not Kaltbrenner.
So what time is Alabama North Carolina play tonight? Is it tonight?
That's the second game there. So I believe 9:30.
Yeah, that's right.
Half
that's
an hour
the
after
I really
the first.
Care about really.
Yeah, that's an intriguing matchup.
9:39 officially for Bama North Carolina, but we'll see how deep Clemson Arizona runs into the night.
Well, you know, Clemson's got the top team. If they don't get in foul trouble, they can hang with Arizona for a while.
Yeah, they about blew their Sweet 16 or their round of 32 game.
They were just fortunate Baylor couldn't hit free throws.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think Arizona, nobody talks about them, right? We used to talk about them all the time leading up to the tournament because we were competing with them for that spot.
Yeah, the one seed.
You watch them. And, like, that's a good team. They remind me a lot of Tennessee.
Hmm.
Yeah, and you talk about Clemson's history. I think that Cliff Ellis and Foster have a lot more wins than Barnes did at Clemson in their career.
Mm. Well, Barnes more successful.
Remember Cliff Ellis, don't you?
Sure. At Auburn, yeah.
He's a good coach.
He was pretty good. Barnes is better.
Well, at Clemson, he wasn't.
Well, in the SEC, he was. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Bye. Hour number two of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.